Psalm books again. Turn to number 126. Number 126, Blessed Redeemer. Shall we stand together and sing? Number 126, as the choir makes their way down.
The hurt that is unknown. Oh, why? please turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 this morning. Last Sunday morning, we spoke on temperance, and it got me into thinking about this passage a little more, so a bit of a series of the Spirit. And so this morning, we're going to look at the works of the flesh, and then we'll move tonight into the fruits of the Spirit. And we'll start with the fruit of the Spirit is love tonight, and then we'll move on through each one of them. We'll skip over temperance. We've already done that. But we're going to look at this morning, Galatians chapter 5 and the works of the flesh. I want to congratulate Bob and Donna Simmons on 45 years of marriage today. How many of you think Donna deserves a medal? Amen. Amen. And wow. Donna was telling me before the service that she had killed him. She got out in 20. But 45 years. No, she didn't say that. But where's Bob? He's working. Oh, great. I thought he was home cooking you a meal. But all right. Congratulations. 45 years, and you do deserve a medal. And but thank you for a great example. And next week is Ray and Bonnie Austin's 45 years next Sunday. And so great examples to us in our congregation of love and marriage. We appreciate that so much. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, the Bible says, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Let's pray together. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would help us as we look at this series now and look at this passage of Scripture. May the Holy Spirit of God teach us its intent. And Father, may we understand what the fruit of the Spirit is and how by walking in the Spirit these things can be manifest in our lives. Help us, Lord, we pray. Lord, I need your help. Fill me with thy Spirit. And Lord, may you lay upon my heart those things which you'd have me to say. I surrender to you. Lord, we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read Galatians 5, you can notice right off that it's a passage of great contrasts. And we see the works of the flesh and we see the fruit of the Spirit. We see a great variance of these two things that are happening in the lives of not only believers but unbelievers. And at least the works of the flesh are happening in unbelievers. But in order for a contrast to work well, it has to be extreme, doesn't it? And I think you can notice in this passage it's very extreme. We have murders and revelings and all the like that we see, witchcraft and idolatry. But then we have love and peace and long-suffering as a fruit of the Spirit. And as we think of these contrasts today, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, that they are contrary. The Bible says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other." The Bible itself says it's a contrast. They're very different. They're opposed. They're contrary. The word contrary means to be set against or opposite to. It means to oppose, to be adverse to, or withstand. Now think of that word, withstand. The Bible is then therefore teaching us that the works of the flesh are withstanding the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, if we are walking in the flesh, that battle that is taking place in our lives is not allowing that seed of the Spirit to grow properly. We can't have the murders and the idolatry and all those things in our lives and still expect the fruit of the Spirit to manifest. You don't get two types of water out of one well. And so we see that in the Scripture. And I want you to notice this morning about these works of the flesh. And this is all we're going to say about this morning. And we're going to look at that. And then from here on out, we'll look at the fruit of the Spirit. I think it's good to be positive and to look at those things that God wants us to have in our lives. But I want you to look at the warnings we see, first of all, today. First of all, we notice the debilitating nature of the works of the flesh. The Bible says in verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, Look what the next phrase is. So that you cannot do the things that you would. So that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, Paul is speaking to the church of Galatia, and he's hoping and he's praying that they are spiritually minded, that they have a desire to do something great for God, that they have a desire to fulfill the mandate that a church should fulfill and go forth and reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He hopes that they have a desire to build this church that would train Christians, that would nurture them and disciple them and help them and grow them. And he was hoping that they would build up a church that would, a place that they could go and worship together, a place where they could go and bear one another's burdens, a place where they could go and pray with one another and encourage one another and exhort one another. That's what he was hoping. And so in order to have that, he was trying to warn them. And he was saying, listen, if you're going to get into the works of the flesh, it's debilitating. You cannot do the things that you should. The things that you desire, the things you know to be right, the things that I've taught you, the things I've invested in your church and in your life, you're not going to be able to do them if you're walking in the flesh. See, that's what sin does. It cripples. Sin has a crippling effect, not just on the believer, but also on the church of Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says you cannot do the things that you would. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I guess you could liken it to an injury. We see these athletes today, and it seems like they I don't know, there's a real difference. I watch baseball, and I like watching some hockey. I don't watch a lot of hockey, but when it's on, I'll watch it a little bit. But hasn't been much on lately. But you know, I remember reading a book when I was a kid and stories about different hockey players. And I remember, I think it was Bill Borilko. How many remember that name? Bill Borilko. He played for the Maple Leafs. Didn't he finish a playoff game on a broken leg? Bobby Bond did, but I thought it was Bill Borilko. Okay, Bobby Bond broke his leg and finished the game. A baseball player gets a hangnail and he's out for 3 weeks. That is no lie. These guys that are making $20 million a year, I'm serious. They hurt a finger. They hurt this. They hurt that. I slid into the base and I hurt my finger. And oh my goodness, what a difference! But that's what an injury will do. It'll cause those players not to be able to play. It'll put them on. We've heard a lot about concussions lately, haven't we? Hockey player Sidney Crosby's been out for a long time because of a concussion. Well, that's a serious injury, and that's a brain injury or a head injury. And we understand that it's debilitating. But the Bible says, it is teaching us, that the works of the flesh are debilitating. They will stop you from doing what you're supposed to be doing and what God has commissioned you to do. And so we understand the debilitating works of the flesh. I want you to look at Romans chapter 7 with me in verse 14. The Bible says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, I was going to challenge you to memorize that passage of Scripture, but I can hardly read it. It's a tongue twister. But if I can summarize, and I've summarized it many times like this, Paul is saying the things I should be doing, I'm not doing. The things I shouldn't be doing, I am doing. Another passage of Scripture, he says, oh, wretched man that I am. And he likens it to this battle in the flesh. He says, yes, we are spiritual, but we are carnal too. And there's a war going on. And the fact that we allow the flesh to win is debilitating. It keeps us from doing what we ought to be doing. Romans chapter 8 goes on. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If I can challenge you to memorize a verse, memorize that one. What a great verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, look what it says, do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Listen, friends, as long as we are walking in the flesh and exhibiting the works of the flesh, it is debilitating in its nature. It stops you and keeps you from doing the things that you ought to be doing. As long as the battle is raging in your life, you are debilitated in some fashion. How much of it depends upon you. You can make a choice today to walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit. 1 John chapter 4 says this, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." You see, what does that have to do with the flesh and the spirit? It has everything to do, friends. You have the ability to overcome the flesh because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, "Well, you know, preacher, you don't understand. I'm in a deep valley and I don't know how ever get out." Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The problem is surrender. We need to surrender to the Spirit of God and let God get us out of those ditches. It's a war, but God can win it every time. If God be for us, who can be against us? 1 John chapter 5 says this, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." How many of you can remember so far back to the schoolyard? Let me remember that. Long way back, some don't. You ever remember playing a game and you're picking teams? Ever do that? Line up against the fence. You get a couple caps. Well, you pick second and get picked. How many of you got picked last? Boy, wasn't that tough? You didn't want to do that. You're always hoping. Every time it got down to two or three kids, you're looking at the guy hoping they'd pick you. You know, you don't want to be last. But how many of you know, remember those days when there was always that one kid? And you knew if you could get that guy on your team. If he was the guy, you knew you had a pretty good chance of winning if you had that guy. I mean, he was the athlete or she was the athlete. They could run faster than anybody else. They could kick the ball harder. They could do whatever. And you just thought, boy, I don't care if I get packed first or last. I just want to be on that guy's team. That's the guy I gotta be on his. I gotta play because we will win if that guy's on my team. You know, really, that's the truth of the Scripture. If you just get on Christ's side, you can be victorious. The problem is we're looking at those two sides all the time. And we're going, which do I choose? Which do I pick? Do I go to the flesh? Boy, that feels good for a season. The Bible teaches it's debilitating that you cannot do the things that you should. Or do I go on Christ's side and have victory in my life? It's a choice. And the flesh is debilitating. Not only do we see the debilitating nature of the works of the flesh, our passage shows us back in Galatians chapter 5, turn there again, the destructive nature. Sin destroys. The flesh destroys. Galatians chapter 5. Now, you say, how are you going to illustrate this? All they have to do is read the Scripture. Look what it says. Verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, reading those scriptures, verses 19 through 21, how many of you need me to describe any of those things and you don't already know it's destructive? I mean, just the nature of those words. Murder is destructive. Idolatry is destructive. All those things that we read, you don't even need me to describe them. You don't need me to outline them or expose them at all. The Bible says that they just by the nature of what they are, we all know how it can destroy your life. Now, there's a key word I want you to notice. The Bible says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. manifest. That word manifest means to be plainly recognized or known. In other words, it's exactly what it says it is. You don't have to think about this. If you were to turn on your television when you went home and watch the afternoon, the noon hour news, and it said that somebody was accused of murder, how many of you already know that's a grotesque crime? You don't need that explained to you any further. If it says so-and-so is accused of murder, and here's the victim, and they were murdered in their home, they were stabbed, they were robbed, whatever it might be, but just the word murder paints a picture. Or the Bible goes on and gives us some other ones, and it says, oh, somebody was taken in adultery. How many of you already know in your mind that that is the breaking of God's covenant of marriage? And maybe one of the persons were single, but they still interfered and intervened on God's covenant of marriage, and it is sin against God. Now, I'm here to tell you, the Bible says the world will call good evil and evil good, and they don't even care about adultery anymore. They don't care about fornication anymore. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says the works of the flesh are manifest, that they are made plain, and the child of God should be able to see them and recognize them and know, hey, this is wrong. You know, I struggle today with, I don't understand, I'm going to be honest with you, I was watching the presidential election 4 years ago, and I was watching the night that Barack Obama got elected as president, and they had some churches in the South, and so they were watching in their churches, and they were Baptist churches, two of them. One was called Abyssinian Baptist Church, I can't remember the name of the other, but that name stuck out to me for some reason. And they were watching the congregations, and they were sitting in their church, and they were watching. They had a screen up, and they were piping it in and watching the election returns. And when it was declared that President Obama would be the president, both of those churches went absolutely hysterical, excited, thankful, happy. And I got thinking, you folks just voted for a man that kills babies. Pro-abortion. You just voted for a man that says, I'm for homosexual unions. I'm against the family in this country. I thought, how can we be so foolish? Here's a group of people that have the same name on their door as that we do, and they have the same Bible that we've been exposed to, and yet they say those things are okay. The Bible says this should be made manifest. This should be just plainly recognized by believers. Well, friends, we've slid into sin to the point where it's not plainly recognized anymore. We get to the point where even in good Bible preaching churches, they are divided on important biblical issues. I'm here to tell you that sin destroys. I'm here to tell you that it is destructive by its very nature. And if you're going to allow yourself to slide into one of these things that are listed there, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and on the list goes, friends, you will be destroyed. It'll destroy your mind. It'll destroy your life. It ought to be plainly recognized in the life of the believer that these things are wrong. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Really, we just ought to take a look at this list and say, I don't want any part of it. It's destructive. That's fruit that I cannot have in my life. I want you to notice thirdly in verse 18, the restrictive nature of the works of the flesh. The restrictive nature. Verse 18 says this, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. If ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. If we are saved in Christ Jesus, we are free from the law. The law had condemnation. The law had punitive measures. The law said that because of sin, we must die. Grace says, because of sin, Jesus Christ can take my place. And He paid the price on Calvary. But when the Bible says in verse 18, but if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under law, flip it over for a minute, turn it around, and we could say this, if you are led of the flesh, you are under the law. You say, what do you mean? For those of you who choose to live by the flesh and not follow the Spirit of God, you will be judged by the law. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. There's all kinds of things in the law that we find that are punitive in nature and that are restrictive in nature. But friends, listen, I get reading that Old Testament. I got to tell you, you get reading through Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and I get thinking, how could we ever keep every ounce of that law? How could we ever keep every jot and tittle? How could we even remember it all? The Jews were just tasked with such a difficult measure. And you say, well, why? Well, because the law revealed the need of a Savior. It showed us that we were all guilty before God. But if you choose today to say, I'm not going to follow Christ, I'm not going to be a child of God, then you're going to be punished by the law. You're going to be judged by the law. And by the way, you'll be found guilty by the law. The Lord Jesus Christ was met by somebody. He said, Master, how can we earn eternal life? He says, well, that's easy. Keep the law and the prophets. He says, all this I've done from my youth. Done it all. I've kept every law. Have you? Jesus tested that theory. He said, well, then go out and sell all that I have and give it all to the poor. The Bible says the man turned away and he went away sad because he had much. Had he kept the law? No. He was still coveting, wasn't he? He was still holding on to his riches and his treasures. The law came along to reveal that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. That we've all fallen short in some regard. And we need Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm not going to follow Jesus Christ because that's just too much bondage. Friends, that's liberty. The law gives you bondage. The law says do this and do that to inherit eternal life. And by the way, nobody has ever done it. And that's why we needed Jesus. If you want to live in the flesh, then you are bound to follow after the law. Romans chapter 8 taught us that. Galatians chapter 3, turn back a page and see this. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently sent forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the spirit of the works, spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the spirit, that ye are now made perfect by the flesh? Now look over, if you will, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Do you see the difference? In Galatians chapter 3, the Galatians have been bewitched, the Bible says. They've been fooled to go back to the works of the law. Go back to the dead works that were listed and see if that... And he says, listen, if you're bound by the law, you're bound to do the whole law. In Galatians chapter 5, he says, here's what I really want you to do. I want you to stand fast in the liberty that you have. Be free in Jesus Christ. You see, if we are going to go by the works of the flesh, it is restrictive in our lives. And we are bound to the entire law of God. Isn't it funny that some will say, well, I don't want to be saved because there's just too much I'd have to give up. Yeah, you'd have to give up all the law, all the restrictive nature. I don't know how you'd ever keep it all. I'm so glad that I have Jesus Christ who paid the price for my sin. Then we see in verse 21 of Galatians chapter 5, the punitive nature of the works of the flesh. The Bible says right at the end of that verse, I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those that are in the flesh are fleshly. They're carnal. They're sold under sin. And if you want to continue in the flesh, the Bible says you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's no hope. You're lost. He said, but I'm following the law. God gave His rules, and as long as I follow them, I'll be fine. No. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not one of us have made it. Not one of us have been able to follow through. He said, well, preacher, I've never committed adultery. The Bible says there that those are adulterers. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, any man look upon a woman to lust upon her, he's committed adultery in his mind. He said, well, I'm not a murderer. I've never committed murder. Again, the Sermon on the Mount says, if we look upon a man with hate in our heart, we've committed murder in the spirit. Have you kept all the Ten Commandments? Have you kept any of them? Listen, the day is coming where we'll stand before God. The Bible says every man will give himself of himself before God. And every last one of us will be guilty before the law. I'm so thankful today that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. and you can be set free from the works of the flesh. Does it mean we're perfect? No, not yet. One day when we get to heaven. But you can have the freedom. You say, well, listen, I'm sick of all this nonsense. I don't want to be accused of adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Listen, let me paint a picture in your mind if I can. One day, the Bible says that the sea and the dead will give up their dead. The sea and the grave will give up their dead. And they'll all stand before that great white throne judgment. And they'll be judged. The Bible says the books will be opened. And they'll be judged according to those books. You say, what are those books? Well, we know for sure one is the book of life. The other one, I believe, is called the book of works. It's the book of the law. And they're going to open up that one book and they're going to look down the list and they're going to say, okay, let's see here. Who can I pick on? Brother Baker, I'm going to pick on you again. I did last week. You see, okay, Baker. Anthony Baker. No, that one's from, he's from somewhere else. Anthony Baker, Waterford. Oh, there, okay. Nope, no Anthony Baker from Waterford. Sorry, brother. So then they have to go get the other book. And you're going to say, well, go look at that other one. And he's going to begin to swell with pride. Because, hey, I'm in the book of works. I'm in the one that's going to tell all the good things I did. And they're going to open up that other book, that book of works, and they're going to be like, okay, oh, here you are, Tony Baker. You're right. There you are, Mr. Baker. He's going to say, walk old ladies across the street. And he's going to put his chest out. And whoa, yeah. And they're going to say, filthy rags. Put thousands of dollars in the offering plate. You ought to start doing that, by the way. Thousands of dollars in the offering plate. And Brother Baker's going to say, well, that'll get me in. And he'll just say, works of the flesh. And on it'll go. All his works are but filthy rags in the sight of God. Accomplished nothing. And then it's going to get down to the real question. What did you do with Jesus Christ? Were any of these works good enough to get into heaven? Were any of them good enough to outweigh the sin? So he's going to turn the page. And say, well, let's look what you did according to the law. Murder! He's going to say, oh, I never committed murder. Oh, you had some pretty terrible thoughts about that, Marvin Weidrich. You committed murder in your heart. When you were a teenage boy, man, that little girl that you saw walking, oh boy. Adultery. Liar! And though we're going to see all the murderers of mankind, the Adolf Hitlers and the Genghis Khans and the Jeffrey Dahmers and the serial killers and the murderers, we're also going to see people that went to church that lied. Cheated on their taxes and had an evil thought in their mind because they couldn't keep the law. That's all it took. That's all it took. They couldn't keep the law. They couldn't be perfect in every jot and tittle, every iota. There was just something that they missed on. And God says, because of it, I never knew you. Depart from me. You say, well, wait a minute. Would a merciful God really do that? A merciful God sent His Son to die in your place. A merciful God said, you don't have to die if you'll just trust Jesus Christ. He'll die for you. That's what mercy did. And if you'll just trust in Him, you won't be in that book. You'll be over there in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He'll write your name down. And you'll be sealed forever. But I'm here to tell you today that if you're trusting in works and if you're trusting in the law and you're walking in the flesh, there is a punitive nature to that law. The wages of sin is what? Death. Sin, when it has its end, bringeth forth death. There's punishment. You know, the Old Testament saint learned through time that he wasn't perfect. When he saw that law and he began to read that law, by the time Jesus Christ came along, that law was so corrupt. And those Pharisees, they tried to be baptized by John the Baptist. And he said, bring me forth meat, fruit meat for repentance. Let me see that you've changed. Jesus Christ was trying to straighten them out time and time again. He said, you generation of vipers. He tried to straighten them out. They thought they were perfect. They thought they had kept the law. They thought they had done everything just right. But they'd missed it. But you know, there were some people in the Old Testament that knew different, didn't they? The Bible says Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith. They said, we realize we haven't kept the law, we're not perfect, but by faith we're trusting God.
By faith, we're believing in Him. You see, that's the Spirit. If you want to continue to walk in the flesh, that is a choice that you will make. And by following after the flesh, it is destructive in nature. It is restrictive in nature, and it will send you straight to hell. But if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today, you can have life eternal. And He'll plant the seed in your heart called the Spirit. And fruit will be able to come from it. It's called love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And on it goes. So many people say, I don't want to get saved because I'm giving up so many things. Friends, it's a good trade. You're giving up murder for joy, adultery for peace, lasciviousness for temperance. Look at the trades you're making. Would you trust Christ today? Let's pray together. Father, help us understand Your Word and speak to our hearts today. Father, maybe there's somebody here today that is trusting in their flesh to save them. Father, we see the works of the flesh are manifest. We pray, Lord, that You would help them to see that there's no way to heaven but through Jesus Christ, that He alone can save them. Maybe there's some believers here today that are walking in the flesh, not in the Spirit. They're going down the wrong path. We pray that You'd help them, Lord, show them their need to follow after You with all their heart, to surrender. Father, speak to us now, we pray, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning as an invitation is played. If God has spoken to your heart, would you step out and come?